Abraham. But I'm always inspired sometimes to read about these men and women of God that went through things like we did. And I want to talk about the beginning of his journey tonight. And see that, understand that his faith was placed in God. And there was things competing for that, his attention. Just like every one of us. We wake up daily with things competing for our attention. Sometimes we don't really recognize it. Sometimes we just go in life, but there's a lot of things really competing. And sometimes we can let those things win in our life. And we don't win if it's not Christ first. And the beginning of what I'm going to talk about is where Abraham was and where he ended up, where he found himself. But he was in a place where he was in a tough situation and a tough place. And every one of us, everybody, somewhere, sometime, wherever you are, whether you're in a good season or a rough season, amen. No matter where you are, tell someone, no matter where you are, we have to know he is with us. Amen? He is with us. And that is the underlying factor of what we need to stand on and know. And I began to think about something. I began to think about how that he never changes. He never changes. I'm not always faithful. I'm not always right. But he is never changing. He is always there. He's always faithful. He never changes. But here's the powerful thing that we can grab hold of tonight. Is that our reality does change. Grab this tonight. Hear this tonight. God never changes. But my reality of God changes. I want you to hear tonight, just as you begin to declare something in your heart, I pray that the reality of who God was to you begins to change. I pray that the reality of who God is expands your doubt, gets beyond it, hallelujah. Gets beyond your understanding, hallelujah. Begins to take you beyond the borders, hallelujah, of what you're familiar with, hallelujah. That's what God does, come on. Because here's what I mean by this. How many of you guys know that when you were in school, you learned math? 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2, you begin to learn those, whatever those are. And you think you got it. I remember going home I'm got math. And then they all of a sudden begin to hand me multiplication. I'm good with math. The reality of the math that I knew was awesome. Now I got to learn all these times tables. Flashcards. And then I think I got it mastered. And then all of a sudden, guess what they do? They give me algebra or division. They begin to add it on to me. And what I knew of math changed. Come on, amen. What I knew of math was the same. Come on, there was algebra. There was all these great things. But my reality of that began to get bigger. Hallelujah. It began to get beyond, hallelujah, where I was. Come on, amen. That's what we need to see. Our reality of God needs to change. Come on, amen. It needs to change. He never changes. And what I mean that we got to see God in the midst of a desert place. No matter where we are, He's faithful. Amen. He's faithful. He never changes. So the God that you knew in the light, you got to remember when it's dark out. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Dan. Amen. I feel like I'm in... I can't do this. I can't. I will stand. No, no. Oh, yeah, that'll... No, 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 no. No, no, I'm good. I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. No, 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 no. I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. The anointing will carry me. The anointing will carry me. It's all right. Hey, listen, so here's... I want to just give this to you, all right? This is... while I was at a place where
of captivity. My wife kept me in captivity. She kept me in a place of captivity, and I'll try. She hid my keys from me. I know. She hid my keys from me, but I couldn't get out. But at that time, some of the things that God was just speaking in my heart, and one of the things was this about Abraham, about he is the father of faith. And I always look to men and women of God, and I really do look at them and say, I love to look and see that they're like us. Come on, amen. That he's the father of faith, amen. He just didn't happen. Come on, amen. Just didn't happen. His reality of God was not the same at the end that it was at the beginning. But it was a journey. And I want you to experience, know that this is a journey that we're on. Amen. This is a journey that we're on. And I want the end of my journey to be the most reality that I could ever experience of God. Amen. I want who he is in my life to get greater and greater and greater day by day. So this is, I'm going to start at the end of this story, and it's only 9-10 verses. Say amen. And it says, and I just want to read this, and he says, and there was a famine. Say famine. That word means failure. There was a failure in the land. Whether it was the source, whether it was the resources. Come on, we could look at it and see that maybe it was a dry place. Come on. I hope that you could relate to this tonight. I don't know that whether it was a dry place. And every one of us sometimes get to those places. It's a lot of those times there that we begin to. It's in dry places. It's in places where sometimes you feel. Come on, say feel. We don't go by feelings, but we sometimes are led by them. And it's when you feel that you don't feel God. How many of you ever been there? Come on, been in those places where that you... And I want you to know it's a journey. Say it's a journey. But we got to keep moving. You can't stop. And it says, and there was a famine, and it says, in land, and he says, and he went down. Say he went down. We know when you go down, it's not usually a good thing. He went down to Egypt, and we know that Egypt speaks of worldliness. Come on, amen. And I want us to get this, because when things, all else fails, we always try our bag of tricks. We always try what worked for me yesterday. Come on, amen. But I want you to know, come on, I want you to know that our reality God needs to change, because what worked yesterday might not work today. Because he's not going to be put in a box. So I want you to know that at this moment, the faithful Abraham began to get into a place where that he was concerned about what was going on. I want you to know, and sometimes what you think is right isn't always right. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to wait upon God. Amen? We need to wait upon God. Because what feels like sometimes a breakdown just might be the edge of a breakthrough. What feels like a breakdown can be the beginning of your breakthrough. Come on, amen? So don't let your breakthrough become a breakdown. Pull down the things that you learned. I want you to remember this, and remember that what you learn in the light, don't forget in the dark. The things that you learn on the mountain, you got to remember, he's the same God in the valley. Your reality of him is going to change. Hallelujah. You're going to get a little bit bigger. You're going to realize, wow, you're as big as you are on the mountain as you are in the valley. Come on, amen. Is that good news? That is good news.
So I want you to see this, but this was something was happening with Abraham. God was doing something within him. Amen? I want you to know that God's doing something within you. God was moving within this man. God was beginning to change him. God was cultivating something within him. And in the midst of those things, I want you to know there are struggles. But what they're doing is they're working something out of us, come on, that we might not know is in us. But what we want to do in those moments is go back to what we know, to reality of what we knew. Come on, amen? To depend on something that has been faithful to you. God says, no, I want to be faithful to you. I want you to know me, and I want your faith to be solely within me. But Abraham, just like every one of us, he's just like us, we tend to go back to what we know. Do you remember the fisherman? Do you remember Jesus when he went to the cross and he was taken? The first thing they did after his crucifixion was what? They went back to fishing. They went back and they got on their boats and they went back to what they knew. Come on, tell someone what they knew. What was provisioned for them before, come on, what they used to know, what they could handle and what they went through, they went back to that. It's in us to do that. It's in us to depend upon self. It's in us. But I want you to know that God is doing everything He can to break that self in us so that we don't go back no more. That we don't have a hunger to go back no more. That we don't want to reach back anymore. Amen? Hallelujah. So here he was. He was at this place. And he says, and it says, and to sojourn there. He went to sojourn there. And the word sojourn means to turn aside from the road. Sojourn. To get off the path. Come on, amen? Listen. To get off the path, to turn aside. He decided to turn aside to get off the road that the Father declared for him to walk out. So, Genesis 12. Say now. Now the Lord said unto Abram. I want you to see here that this is a journey because his name's not even changed yet. That God's beginning to capture his heart, that right here that we know him as Abram. Come on, amen. But we will know him as Abraham. So I want you to catch this and see this, that God put his name right in the midst of his name. Come on, he entwined his name, who he was, with who Abraham was. That's a powerful thing. But I want us to see something that when you're in the dark season, I want you to remember what you learned in the light. And this is what Abraham learned in the light. This is what he learned. And the first thing that happens, I want to give you a couple just things that this is what the Word of God does to us. This is what the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God, when we hear God speaking, amen? When we hear Him declaring something, God's words, it always speaks. Say it always speaks. God's words always speaking. Always speaking. We have to understand that the Word of God is living. It's moving. It's breathing. It's real. But am I listening? It is always speaking. But what is He saying to me? God's Word is always speaking, but this is what I want us to get a grip on here. I want us to grab hold of this. Because only if I can make this mine, if I could take it and be mine, is the only way that I can get through the journey. That I have to make it mine. The only way we can get through things in our life, difficulties and sufferings and problems, is if we can identify with what He is saying to me. He is always speaking. His Word is always declaring. Amen? This is the Logos Word. But we, as we read it, and as we begin to grab hold of it, we begin to get a Rhema Word. Amen? A Word that speaks to us. Amen? Come on, say Rhema Word. He says that speaks. So God's always speaking, but am I hearing it? What is He saying to me? What is He saying to me? I want you to grip this and grip this. What is God saying to me? What is He saying to me? That wherever I am, what is He saying to me? And he began to declare some things. So number one, the Word of God challenges us. It challenges us. Amen? It challenges us. And it challenges us what the disbelief that we might have deep within us that we don't recognize or don't even know that's there. God will challenge that thing. Come on, amen? So he says this. He says, and now the Lord said unto Abram,
He says, get thee out of thy country. Come on, amen. I want you to hear this. He says, and from the kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. Can you just give me a location? No, no. He says, a land that I will show you. Listen, God wants to be on the journey with you. Come on, amen. He wants to be with you on the journey. Come on, I want you to understand this and grip this. I want you to know that God does not take anything from you that He will not multiply or give you greater. Amen. That will not add to your life. That seems like something's being taken away. But God is the God of multiplication. Amen. He's the author of math. So He says this, and it says, and He says to go from your country. And this means, I want you to know this is a journey, and God's working something out of him because he's used to being in this country. He's been in this state. Tell someone state. He's been in this state or country. It means, I want you to see this, that we can take from this, that it means a condition. A state of condition. I wrote this down. A particular condition that someone or something is in at a specific time. So I want you to know that God stepped in the midst of his state, of his condition, and was trying to pull him out of the state that he was in. I want you to take a look at this thing and realize that the Word of God is bringing out us whatever state that we are in. Whatever condition we are in. I want you to, some of us, that sometimes we were in a lost condition. We were in a place of desperation in our lives. And God stepped into that state and pulled us out. He didn't leave you in that state. He doesn't want to leave you in that state. Amen. That we decide at that moment. I want you to know when God's Word spoke to my heart, when I was in the state that I was in, the condition that I was in my life 30 years ago, God stepped into my state, into my condition, and spoke a word. And at that moment, I chose whether or not I was going to leave that state, because He gave me the power to step out of it. By faith and believing and trusting and saying, God, Lord, I believe this. I don't know how. God, I'm going to step out of the state. So I want you to see this, that God brings us out of conditions, whatever something or something's in, somebody or something is in. God will bring us out of that condition. And he says, and to get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Now I began to think about this. The word kindred, it means kin, one's own flesh, or family ties. Now, God does not separate, and he's not looking to divide families. Amen. He is the God that unites. He is the God that unites, that brings us together. So I want you to understand that what's taking place, that it seems like he's creating all this havoc in his life, but I want you to know, but it's bringing victory to his life because of where he was. And where he was a place where, that I want you to recognize, it was called Haran, and he had a brother actually named Haran who died, Abraham. He had a brother, his name was Haran, he died, but this isn't the same place. This place actually means a place of, parched. It's a parched place. That's the name of the place, parched. And do you know, I want you to see that when God, when Abraham's father picked up his family when they were in Ur of Chaldees, where Abraham was born, they moved to Haran, but they were on their way to where God was sending Abraham. But they didn't make it. I want us to remember that. Amen. It's pretty powerful for us to see this. Am I boring anybody? No. Okay. I'm sitting down. I'm not running back and forth. So I don't want you to. I can really get a look at your faces right here. So but he says, your kin. And I know to me that it speaks of that he was separating from your own flesh. And we know that that flesh is what we always depend upon, that we always go back to. It's usually, I want you to know that it's the flesh that gets me in trouble. It's the flesh that embarrasses you. We could recognize that it is the flesh. And I want you to know that God says, I want to separate you from your kin. I want to separate you from your flesh. And not only that, but I want to separate you from family ties. And this is what I mean from this. I want you to know that He was separating them from a tie of whatever that was in the past. Say the past. Whatever those things tied you down to that were in the past. Come on. That maybe were conditions from somebody else that maybe put something on you. Come on, amen. Maybe some ties that were placed upon you. He says, I'm taking you out of that kindred. So that you're no longer tied to that, but you're tied to me. Come on. I want you to hear this and understand that. That is the most important that we can recognize, that it's all about Him. That it doesn't matter where I was born. Come on, amen. Because I come from Him. It doesn't matter who I was born to or born from. And we honor that and we love that. Whoever your relatives, where our relatives are, we honor that. Amen. But I'm talking about something spiritual. That God was separating the flesh and ties. Ties sometimes hold us back. And what does that... I want us to see this, because sometimes the ties of those that went on before us, maybe our fathers or our mothers or our ancestors, maybe their view of God did not expand. And if we're holding on to that, our view of God is based upon our parents' reality. It needs to be based upon what God's saying to me. A lot of people serve religion based upon what their fathers and mothers did. I want you to know that is to get us in the right track, but we're not supposed to stay there in that sense. We're supposed to know Him for who He is to what? To me. Because if I don't know Him firsthand, then I know Him secondhand. I hear Him from what somebody else said about Him, and that's not the truth. But I want to know who He is to me, and that reality of God to me, and the truth of who He is to me. And I know this because my grandma was a faithful woman. Grandma would be okay with me saying this. But she was a tough bird. She was a holiness woman. Full dress, never wore a pair of pants in her life. Aren't you? Come on, ladies. Does everybody have pants on here tonight? My grandmother would be proud of my daughter, but it's a little short for my grandma. It had to be down to your ankles. My grandmother had long hair, never cut her hair. Huh. I mean, she cut her hair. She put it up on a bun. You would think that she was had a little, but her hair would come all the way down her back. She kept it up in a bun. But I want you to know that the sad thing about it is my grandma's experience with God was only handed down to her from somebody that she knew. It didn't go much further than that. And I'm not saying to bash it. I'm not saying that. But I can't be in that same place where I just know God secondhand to what somebody else says about that. And there might be a truth in that. But I want you to know that I need to progress with God. Amen? Just like I said, my reality of God needs to change. And my grandmother, she would say things sometimes that her perspective, she would take a scripture and she would say things sometimes that, boy, it would be, you know, really harsh, you know. Wow. And I would wonder to myself, I'd like, man, if that's like God, man, I don't know. I'm thinking about this a little bit. I don't know if I can ever match up or I can ever reach that expectation that He has for me, because it's, woo, if my brother's changing tires on Sunday and he's going to be eternally damned, I'm in trouble. I know it seems funny, but I want you to know that now we're growth with God, but that is the truth. There was a truth in that, in a sense where that, you know, they took a scripture and it's talking about honoring the Sabbath, and we're to honor the Sabbath, but we're not the Sabbath. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is my rest. Amen. He is my rest. He is the Sabbath day. I don't serve a day, but I serve a person. His name is Jesus. It's all about Him. Thank you, God. I could change my tires on Sunday, or we can get a dumpster. Maybe it was God not letting us get one. I told you. Sorry, God. No, but I want you to get this. So he was removing some ties. He was working on him. He was beginning to pull some things away, some things apart that were hurting him, because he wanted him to know. I want you to know that God's desperate for you to know who he is to you. Come on, amen. He's desperate for you to know him, for you to be in love with him. Not to be in love with a God of Chris, but know the God of Kelly, or the God of Beth. He's my God. That you can say with all of your heart, the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. He is my shepherd. He wants you to be able to say. He wants you to say that. He wants you to walk with him. So he will interrupt your comfort zone so that you could say, the Lord is my shepherd. He will interrupt that place. He says he wasn't going to let him stay there because he wanted to get him to experience who he was in the depth and the power. So he says, he tells them, he says, I want you to leave that. He says, and I wrote these things down that the Word of God does. And the next thing, it moves you. It'll move you out of the state. It'll move you from ties. It'll move you from things that disrupt your view of God. Come on, amen. So, and he says, from thy father's house. Now, I believe this is the biggest one that really probably stung him more than anything, because he says, I want to remove you from your father's house. That's what he's known. He's not a little kid. He's actually 75 years old. So he's been there a while. He's packing up bags at 75 years old. I want you to think how much was within this man at this time. He's 75 years old. How conditioned was he? What state was he in? How many ties were there upon his life? And in that moment, he moved with what God says. That's what the power of God does. It will cause you, when you take it by faith and believe it, it will move you. Come on. It will move you. It will cause you to get up and say, how did I do this? What happened? It was the Word of God that moved upon you, that you responded to the Word of God and moved in it. Amen? It's the move in that Word. So it'll move you. And it says, I wrote this down too. I wrote this down about family ties. Is don't let anyone determine your growth. But you. Come on, amen? Don't let anybody determine your growth or your not growth or your stunting. And what I mean by that is for us to recognize that even ourselves, don't just think of somebody else, that you got to get them out of your life. I'm not meaning that. But what I'm meaning is this, is our own hearts, even though we want to sometimes, is that we cannot let the way somebody else does something cause me to do something wrong. Of what else somebody else did, we cannot add to our pain because of that. I cannot let what that person did disrupt my growth in God. I'm responsible for that. No matter what they did, no matter what that person has done, I cannot. Come on, I've been there. I've had people try to disrupt my growth. The enemy, using people, because our body battles not against flesh and blood. But the animal used people sometimes to disrupt it. Sometimes he'll even use, come on, amen, your wife or your husband or your kids will get underneath your skin and try to disrupt your growth. Maybe your workers, come on, amen. Maybe someone at work, maybe someone where you're at will try to disrupt your growth. Come on, amen. And you can't, you got to stand strong. At that moment, you cannot let it determine where you're going or your view of God. You need to press on. Amen? Come on, amen. You cannot let that grip you. You cannot let that. So that's what I mean, that God will move us from our kindred, from things that sometimes will disrupt your growth with God. Say it's not going to happen. But then he says his father's house, that he was in his father's house in Haran, in a parched place that his father got to, but he didn't move from that place. He settled for that place. But I want you to know that it's not something bad upon him. He got him to that place. He was going there. Come on, amen. I want you to know that Abram knew that his father was going to Canaan, but didn't get there. Sometimes those that are before us, we need to go farther than those that were behind us. We need to go farther. Come on, I want you to know, for our children's sake, we need to go farther than our fathers did. We need to have a grip on God and go farther and reach for God greater than our fathers did. Amen? So that we can deposit into our young children. You can't give up. Come on, amen? I want you to hear this. You can't give up. You got to give your children a place, a sanctuary, a place of refuge. Come on, amen? Where that things are rough, you got to give them that place where that they can come to and worship God and know that God is there. Come on, amen? We got to get farther than that. I've watched. I want you to know that the kids that have went on, the kids that they have to go back around again to get to where their fathers and mothers left off, where they gave up at or something. So persevere. Amen. So he says that the word of God changes you. Three. It changes you. And he says, and I will make. This is a good one. He says, I will make. Who will make? Who's I? Is God. He says, I will make. He says, I will make. I will make thee a great nation. I will make you a great nation. Now, I love this because it's about our journey. That he says, I will make you. How many of you guys know that Jesus, in the journey with his disciples, he said to them, I will what? Make you fishers of men. But I want you to know, I will make you. You're going to be fishers of men. No, it is in the I will make you part. It's in the journey part. It's in the, there's a lot of promises of God that sometimes we forget to take hold of the full word of what God declared. He says, I want you to know that there's some determining factors in this thing that you got to be willing, come on, amen, to move out of that place of your state. You got to be willing to leave those things behind, amen, so that I can make you. The disciples had to, they were at that place, and I want you to realize this, he did make them fishers of men, and they left behind their nets. And he made them fishers of men. If they didn't leave behind their nets and step out that place. But the powerful story is, yes, we do sometimes fail. And they did go back to that place, but they didn't stay there. Because they recognized and they went back to that place. They said, you know what? It ain't as good as it looked. So it says, listen to this, in John 8. Are y'all okay? I got to get used to this new form of preaching for a little while. Calm. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, if you continue, say continue, let the word work in you. If you continue, he says, in my word, then you are my disciples. You're not just my disciples. No, if you continue in my word. And he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you continue in my word, it is in the word that will make you free, and it will cause you to see the truth. It is that in the making part that you'll begin to see, man, I'm free. And knowing the truth, the reality of God changes. It's in the making. Amen? 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1:8. Let me jump up a little bit. He says, whereby he has given you us exceeding great precious promises, that these might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, stay the journey. He says, add to your faith virtue. It's in the journey. He says, and virtue, knowledge. Every step that you take as you're progressing with God, he says, it will increase in knowledge. Amen? Come on. And he says,
and the knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. I want you to see here. Come on, there's something in the making. Amen? There's something in the making. There's something in the progress. There's something in the journey that's taking place in your life. Amen? He says that'll create an abundance in our life just walking with God. And he says, and for these things be in you and abound. Get beyond your borders. Amen? That these beyond, they go beyond. Hallelujah. And he says, they make you that you shall neither be barren. It doesn't matter what place you're in. You won't be barren. Come on. You will not be unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ. But he that lacketh these things, he's blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from the old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. You will never fail.
Hallelujah.
Listen. So he tells him, he says, I want you to move from your father's house. And we said this, that his father, from where that place was, from that environment. And he says, and then he tells him, he says, I want you, he says, and I'm going to bless you. He says, I want to bless, he says, I will make thee a great nation and I will bless you. And man, I wrote these down. He says, God makes, he accomplishes what he begins. Say amen to that. God's word will bless me. And then, listen, this is what God's word does to me. He says, and I will bless thee and make thee a great nation, and thou shalt be a blessing. You shall be a blessing. You will be a blessing. He says, I want to make you a blessing. I want to make you a blessing to others. That's the heart of God. We're willing to step out of those things that we become a blessing to those around. We become a blessing when we hear the word of God. What is he saying to me? Wow. That I hear that and know that God, you want me to be a blessing. Sometimes we're always looking for, we are blessed and highly favored. So be a blessing. We are blessed and highly favored. So be a blessing. Come on, amen. We are blessed and highly favored. So be the blessing. Amen? Be the blessing. Be the blessing. You have that authority to be the blessing. To be the joy in the house. Why? Because the joy is in you. To be the peace in a situation in turmoil. Be the blessing. Come on. Amen? In brokenness. Hallelujah. You be the healing that needs to take place in that place. You be that olive branch. Hallelujah. You be the fruitful in the midst of it. Let me finish. He says, and then he says, we can't make this another series, so I got to get down here real quick. All families be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord spoke. He did. And he says, and unto him, he said, had spoken unto him, say him. He spoke him a word. And we're not going to get into it, but Lot went with him. I don't know if he asked him or not, but Lot went with him. That's what it said. They threw that in the middle there because Lot went with him. I want you to know his name means veil. It means veil. It means divider, separator, conceals access to God. And we're going to see here, we could see here as you look and read through it, you could see here that Lot disrupted a lot of the things that God was doing at that moment, but yet in the midst of it, God used it in the journey of Abram. What looked like a curse became a blessing to him. Amen? But sometimes we will all have lots in our lives. It says, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He says, and Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother and all their substance, and they had gathered and their souls that had gotten in Haran. And he says, and they went forth to the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. It says, and Abram passed through. Say, passed through. Sometimes there's some passing through some things that we have to get to before our destination until we arrive.
We always like to punch into GPS, but I want you to know that we get the destination, but we have to go on the journey to get there. I always find jobs. There's jobs that I have to go to that I have no clue where they are, but I punch in the destination, and it's right there on my screen, but it's not right there. You probably use it. You punch in your destination, and then it tells you 2 hours. It came up that quick, but it's going to take me 2 hours to get there. Or sometimes on that journey, it doesn't tell you where you're going to go through to get to the destination. It tells you the destination. I want you to know that God will tell us the destination, sometimes will tell you. But I want you to know it's the journey that changes you. It causes you to be who you are. It made Abraham a man of faith because of the journey. Don't curse the journey. Come on, amen. Don't curse where you're at. Don't curse it. Because I want you to know it'll bring you to a place of faith if you let it. Come on, amen. It'll change you. It'll move you. It'll cause you to know God like you didn't before you started. If you let it. Amen. If you let it move within you. So last thing they did, he says, and the Lord appeared unto him. He says, and said unto him, thy seed will give thee the land, and you build it. And he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. I want you to know what God does, and I want you to get this and hear this, because it says that he built an altar and God appeared. He built an altar and God appeared. Can you say that? Listen, I want you to know that God will appear in your sacrifice. Abraham sacrificed his flesh. He sacrificed the things what he thought was going to be of his own control of the matter. He sacrificed it. And in the sacrifice, God appears. When you are weak in the sacrifice, he's strong. In the midst of the sacrifice that we offer to God with our lives, come on, we're not killing cows anymore. Dang. It's a lot easier. I'm not offending anybody here. Whatever. Maybe you don't want to kill a cow. You want to kill a goat. It's whatever. So, but no matter what, I want you to see this and know that God honors the sacrifice. And it says he appeared. He appeared. He appeared with him. Your sacrifice means something. And God sees it. And it's doing more for you than you know. I mean that. Praise team. As you honor God, you come here and set your time aside to him, he honors that. And I don't know about you, but he appears to me in the midst of that. He appears to me because of your worship. He appears to me in the midst of every one of your sacrifices that we have this place. Because you come collectively together and offerings that we bring, we have this. I want you to know because of a collective sacrifice, God appears. Come on. As you worship God when you didn't feel like it when you came in, but you sacrificed your feelings, come on, amen, and how you felt about it, God will appear. Amen? Come on. God will appear. God will show up in the midst. And it says, and he removed him unto the mountain, and he says, east of Bethel, and pitched a tent, having Bethel on his west, and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. And this is pretty powerful because there's two things that took place here. You have Bethel, meaning the house of bread, the house of God. Say house of God. And it wasn't just a place, but I want you to relate to this, that that's where God was. That's where they're pursuing after God. And behind him was a place called Ai. And Ai means a heap of rubble. So he had the altar of God, the house of God before him, and he had Ai behind him. Rubbish. Whatever it was in the past. He kept Bethel in front of him, and Ai behind him.
On our journey, we have to remember, don't look back to what was removed from you to think it's better. But the only way you know the truth is if you keep your head forward and look unto Him. Amen? That's the only way things change. That's where breakthrough comes and not breakdowns. Is your only hope is in Jesus, because it's all about Him. Don't look back. Come on, tell someone, don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back, but look forward. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, God, we come before You, God, Lord, in this message. And we ask to God, Lord, that we take from this to God, Lord, that we say, what is God speaking to me? Because You're always speaking, Father. I pray to God, Lord, that each one of us, to God, Lord, that we take our temperature and that we analyze, we just step back and we just look at our own selves and say, what are You saying to me? And whatever You're saying, God, Lord, I pray that You empower us to move in it, to walk in it, and to move in the journey, God, Lord, and trust You through it all. And believe that You never fail us. God, Lord, I pray for each one here tonight, God, Lord. I pray for strength upon them. I pray, God, blessing be upon their lives. Dear God, Lord, in the midst of that, I pray that they recognize that they are blessed. And in the midst of that, God, Lord, that they be the blessing. That they be the blessing. That we be Family Worship Center. We are a blessing. We're a blessing. We're a blessing to those that come in, that those that don't, those that come in and out, God, Lord, that we be the blessing. Hallelujah. That we be, hallelujah. God, Lord, that when they step in the midst of this, to God, Lord, they begin to hear and understand and take hold of the love that You have for them, God, Lord. That we be a blessing and not a curse to them, God. In the power of Your name, and we declare that we are in Jesus' name. Come on, give somebody a hug. Go be a blessing to somebody.